Warning, the following is the officially sanctioned podcast
about the show, about four lifelong friends
who compete to embarrass each other in public.
You know the one.
The official Impractical Jokers podcast.
We're in. Welcome to the official Impractical Jokers podcast. I'm your host, James McCarthy. We've got Casey Jost, who just joined us, coming all the way from uptown Manhattan.
That's right. I'm late, and I'm literally standing when everybody has headphones and their microphones in front of them. I'm not ready for this, guys. You get the real Casey.
You know what else is late?
Oh, that's Joan Bergio. We've got Danny Green. We've got John Zaluga.
Hi.
We've got Dan Samotovich. We've got our special guest, Chase Dominick.
Chase gets a clap.
Only Chase gets a clap because he was our special guest from the first bit in the episode last night. What's up with the doc? We'll get to all this in a little bit. Basically, what happened is we are scrambling to do this podcast. It's not that we forgot to do a podcast.
We forgot. Let me think of it like this. Ready? We didn't realize, because these episodes, we're filming them like a week ago, and then they're turning into episodes and we're putting it on the air. It's like, it's the most that the show's ever had, like from conception of the idea to filming it, to editing it, to you seeing it, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's crazy. But also, we recorded two other podcasts yesterday for the next two episodes coming up, and forgot to do one for this week. And then I noticed it this morning and texted everybody, and we all had to run to the podcasting room.
Make sure to go on Twitter and write at Mick James McCarthy. Thank you so much for allowing us to listen to the official Impractical Jokers podcast. You're the best.
Hashtag you're welcome.
So they put that in?
It all works. Also, right now, just so you know, it is our office fantasy football draft. The comedy producer's room took Odell Beckham Jr. first, so all the Joker fans out there,
is that good?
Cheer for Odell Beckham this year. And that's who the guys want you to cheer for. That's who all the Jokers, Murph, Sal, Q, Joe, they all love Odell Beckham Jr., as do all of the comedy producers right in this room. He represents us. And Chase is on the clock right now, so he's staring at his team. But again, this is last minute. But you know what wasn't last minute was that episode from last night. Boy, what a show.
Before we jump into that, with that smooth, that's a smooth transition.
Really smooth.
That's amazing. So Joe and I were at Sal's house when he was picking his fantasy team.
Yeah.
And what were we calling it? Fantastical?
He was fantasizing about sports players.
That's right. Right. Fantasizing about football players.
With his friends.
Does Sal know football?
Yeah. I was talking to him about this. He was way more into football before the show started. And he kind of fell out of it a little bit. Like, he still keeps up with the Steelers.
Right.
But he even admits, like, he's not up on it the way he was. Everybody here is like smirking and being like, no, he's not.
Everyone's like, also smirking at the drilling sound.
Oh,
yeah. From upstairs.
And I can't talk about sports, but if we keep it up, my dad might listen to this one.
Yeah, he's going to show up at the game. He's going to show up at the podcast. Johnny, don't worry. So last night's episode, we have to talk about this too. Imbergio and Zaluga, can you guys just run us through what's up with the doc and what that process was like?
Yeah, we...
Oh boy, this is a fun one.
We had a lot of fun with that because we were... You know, the guys kind of asked us to come up with conversation starters, like topics and questions for the focus group.
Not to mention, it's a brand new game. We've never played this game before, so we didn't really know how it was going to go or like the best way to possibly play it. And we wanted the marks, the people, the strangers in the focus group to like talk at length about a topic.
Yeah, and we did it like day. I guess we spent so much time thinking about the technical setup,
right,
of the monitor in the room and the guys typing from another room and stuff, that we didn't think about what the focus group would be doing. So we decided at first it should be artificial intelligence,
which we got a real kick out of.
Yeah, we wrote a series of questions. We were looking at those earlier. Do you have the? Do you still have?
Yeah,
that?
Let me pull them up. I mean, so if you think about it, these people are being pulled in for a focus group. They're getting paid, what, $20 an hour?
Something like that. Chase, actually, you know, you book the marks.
I do. $60 for 90 minutes is what.
And you hate booking marks. Is that correct, Chase?
I'm not crazy about it.
why is that?
The process is a long process. It's just I'm not gonna go into the process. I don't want
to. You don't have to go too far into it. But what makes it so annoying for you?
Just the how unpredictable people are when they show up, and also when we run late. I'm watching the episode right now. when we run late, it's just a nightmare to have people that are trying to rush out and being built. People are building up in a room. And sometimes we get like 15, 20 people that are been there for an hour and a half.
Would you say that's the worst part of your job, is like booking people and organizing all of that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's gotten more enjoyable as we've gotten better at it.
What's the worst part?
I don't know. I don't think there is a worst part.
Well, you're trying to predict like who might know the show and stuff too, without asking directly. That's a thing you guys have to do all the time, which is interesting.
Like, it's a tedious process, but we've kind of fine tuned just how to vet those people out. And
do you still do the survey?
Yeah, we send out surveys.
So the survey will like have them pick like what are their favorite TV networks, and if anybody picks True TV, it's like no. If they say what are your favorite shows, and if people do Practical Jokers, that's a big tell.
Yeah, that would be a.
But if someone's like, I don't really have I don't have cable. That's like a perfect person, right?
Yeah, that is. Sometimes not though. Sometimes not. Sometimes you want people that watch Comedy Central or watch like. Some TV and are kind of up on that stuff because people that wouldn't watch TV sometimes
they wouldn't want to be on it. They wouldn't want to sign a release.
Yeah.
Chase, this is all brilliant.
Yeah. The other thing too is that the postings that we put up, a lot of people get flagged because they watch True TV, but a lot of people get flagged because they've actually been on the show before we booked them.
Right. How do you figure that out?
It's hard to keep track, right?
Yeah.
It's happened a few times because people on Twitter have a conniption about it.
Yeah.
And
they're
like, it's all a conspiracy.
Yeah. There has been a couple times where people have slipped through the cracks or just haven't filled something out.
I was on set for one of those days. The guys in BTS are looking at this mark and they're going, this guy looks like somebody. It's an actor? What show? This guy looks like, and he looked like a guy from a Practical Joker.
That's
what it was.
And then I think it was on Twitter because someone had taken screenshots of like this guy from season one, and he was like in a crowd for a different Joker.
I'm with it. Shut down the show.
It did.
Dude, when the guys were like in the nursing home, there was an old person there who recognized Sal from when he did his like prison .
People.
Yeah, so we shot in the same place, and we had one of the people came through again. She goes, "Oh, I remember you," and he was there. The new bit was helping people with tech, and then she immediately said, "So my nephew gave me this iPad," and she still like she recognized him from the first time, but didn't put together like what was actually happening, and asked him for help with the iPad in the bit.
Yeah, it's amazing.
But we still escorted her out because anytime we catch it, like we don't want that.
Any store I go into, people ask me for help. That's just a personal thing. But like, if I'm at like an Apple store, people are like, "Excuse me," and they have uniforms. And then if I'm at like a clothing store, people are like, "Do you have this in like my size?" And it happens all the time. Like every store I go into.
Don't you want to work at Apple on the side?
I do. I do want
a dream
to
of
do
yours.
That. Yeah, my dream is to work at an Apple store. I feel like it'd be fun just helping people.
Do you ever help?
You would enjoy that.
I think I'd have so much fun because you're basically solving the same problems over and over again. It'd be fine.
And I saw Inversia there was trying to segue into AI.
That's right.
I saw that mischievous little smile on his face. He's trying to get to his AI question. So Joe, back on the AI. Tip. What were you talking about?
Well, I think at the
back
time
on the AI tip.
I think at the time we wrote these, we were really into AI. I feel like we were talking about it a lot because that Google thing came out.
Right.
We were not
the Jokers.
Let's be very clear: the Jokers are not. So we wrote all these questions. How would you define AI? What aspects of AI do you see in everyday life? Do you currently use any AI technology? And then it kind of keeps going into like, what negative effects can AI have on society? Do you trust AI to diagnose a medical condition? Do you trust the cloud? What are the implications of AI becoming conscious? And then it goes into define consciousness.
Yes.
Do you believe AI poses a threat to the world we live in? And what steps can be taken to prevent an AI-related disaster?
And now, what was the Joker's reaction to finding out the day that we're filming the entire focus group was centered around AI?
It was the same as Chase's reaction. They hated it. Because Chase was in the room leading the group. And how much did you hate those questions?
Well, I mean, if you're going to put someone in a room to lead a discussion about AI, they should probably know something about AI.
No, don't worry. No one in that room knew anything about it.
When we switched to vacation stuff, I think I was a little bit more in my wheelhouse. But...
You'll notice if you watch the episode halfway through, Murray was like, we need to change the questions. And we like scrambled and like wrote like 10 questions about like vacation.
Yeah. Talk about your favorite vacation. Went from what is consciousness to find consciousness to talk about your favorite vacation.
What's your favorite beach?
I mean, but I do love the fact that these people are getting paid $20 or whatever, $60.
It's not $20.
I like to minimize it.
It's $60. It's $20 an hour.
Still,
you're kidding me.
No, but
you pay $60.
We pay him $60 for 90 minutes.
That's more than you probably make when you have to do the bit. You have to do the survey.
It's true. It's true. I don't get paid anything.
Did you get a fee when you were on camera? For like you're in one of the episodes coming up, right?
Yeah, I think so.
This one.
Is this the episode?
This past one, but yeah. Also one.
Guys, we're doing the episode 10 minutes before it comes out. We're doing the podcast. This episode comes out in 10 minutes from when we're recording.
Oh, yeah, this Thursday.
Oh, you're on the clock, by the way, for fantasy.
Am I?
Yeah.
See, this is called multitasking. Oh.
He's fantasizing about football players.
That's right.
Ah, you son of a...
who'd he take?
He took Adrian Peterson. I wanted Adrian Peterson. All right.
Speaking of AI, I think this is a good episode. Is that a good segue?
I think it's more AI.
We should have whoever has the best segue wins this episode.
There were some other funny things we noticed from this, like when Joe puts on Stella's jacket and it's too small.
Oh, hey, I don't know if we should talk about that.
Why?
It's in the episode.
AI.
Oh.
I'm still actually confused.
AI, I don't know.
AI. Oh, gotcha. That's the same one I just did. You can't hop onto AI. Mine.
Hey, I was trying to talk over here.
I had said, hey, you guys, you can't. You're just counting it towards me.
Darn it.
I started that one. You have to have your own. What else is in this episode?
Well, and Bergio noticed a thing watching it back because the guys right away are like, what's with that jacket? Right? Or they ask him about it.
And Stella, so Joe just says in the room with all the strangers, he goes, it's Stella's jacket. Like, so, but if you're in the reality of that room as a stranger, you've just heard this man at the corner of the table go, it's Stella's jacket.
There's a lot of like the guys talking to themselves. If you think about it, if you take BTS out of it and they can't hear it, it's completely crazy that you would come into a room and just go, it's Stella's jacket.
Well, I think it's one of the brilliant things that they do is they say things with such confidence that people don't realize what they're actually saying. They just kind of take it and stride like up your ass and to the left.
Yeah.
How was it for you asking people to define consciousness? Did you feel like you learned something that day?
I think everyone has a very similar idea of what it
is. My favorite thing is like you go into the questions and just the confused looks on people's faces. Some people got into it. The British lady in Murr's turn was fantastic. One of the better marks. Like we need like a Mark all-star team.
I know.
She's in there. She's in there right now for this season.
Yeah, she carried the conversation for sure.
The chitty chatty.
Yeah. She was great.
There's too much of this chitty chatty.
I think one of the reasons you guys picked that is you thought that people were really going to want to talk about it. And we got in and not really, people didn't really open up about it.
I guess they're afraid of the AI.
Yeah, we were hoping to get like crazy theories, I think. That's kind of what we wanted.
Right.
Didn't happen.
The other funny thing about this bit, if you notice, you know, the guy on the floor isn't controlling his computer, but he has to look like he's typing the whole time. And a lot of times he would like put one hand up on his head, but a full sentence is coming out.
Right.
And the guys on BTS would be like, oh, look, you have to pretend you're typing. And so you have to like rush to do it.
There was a lot of that in BTS. Yeah. Like, type, 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 keep typing.
But they kept yelling at each other. And then when they were down there, they'd forget to do it. This was a fun one, though. I'm happy we did this one.
Well, that's actually one of the things, too, about the room is like, even the, like, the little stuff that I don't even think about until we get there. It's like when people walk into the room, where they sit down, like trying to kind of Jedi mind trick them into sitting in a certain position so that the Joker takes the right seat. So he's sitting in a place where they can't see if he's typing or if he's not typing.
Yeah. We spent like an hour angling the computer and the keyboard so that,
It took us a while to figure out like how we were actually going to ensure that people were going to sit in the right places.
Yeah. I remember
so that I would have the right position in the room as well.
Sal was arguing to be opposite the monitor cause he wanted to type and then see it. And he's like, no one will see my keys because they'll be looking over there. But ultimately for the show, we need to see Sal and the monitor in the same shot, which he agreed with in the end when he saw it. But Yeah, that was a whole debate between the guys and the crew. I remember that.
Yeah, it didn't get solved until, I think, moments before we actually went in. Yeah.
Speaking of displays, they got knocked down in the next bit.
That's right. That's a good segue. Winning?
That was great.
You're on the money. You're winning, yeah.
I think maybe for this entire podcast, I'll just do segues.
Okay. That's a smart idea. Because you haven't seen the episode, right?
I've seen rough cuts.
Okay. This is a good one.
Oh, John, mm-hmm. You're in this one.
I'm in this one. I'm the supermarket manager in this one.
You're a part you were born to play.
Yeah, I was trained. I worked in a supermarket from 1997 to 2003.
Just for this?
Just for this. Knowing one day I would have to do this. Yeah, you know what's funny? I thought of this today. I was about to tell Bergeron. I was like, I should save it for the podcast. But so this whole thing is the guys are posing as customers, pretending to fall into a display and get hurt with the intention of suing the supermarket.
Right.
And the way we got permission to do that was by not asking for permission to do that, right, Chase? Is that right?
Yeah, it's correct.
Because I was like, they were okay with us doing this? I'm like, we didn't mention the suing part.
There's a lot of asking for forgiveness rather than permission.
Yeah.
But luckily, it's a rare case of all four Jokers losing.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Love,
which we love. Yeah. Nobody backed them up, and I think that's great. And it was funny. I think on some level, my supermarket training like kicked in, because I remember when I was being trained, they had this computer program we had to sit at, and it took you through, it would show you little videos, and you had to answer like a quiz at the end. And if you got the quiz wrong, it was okay, but you would just have to go back and watch the video again and do it again. And I remember I took way too long. I had one of my earliest bosses kind of came in and you're not done with this yet. And the reason I wasn't done was part of the video was what to do if somebody gets hurt in the store. And there was this funny video of a guy at a register just going, whoa, 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 slipping and falling in the most comical way. And it cracked me up. And the question would come up what do you do? And I would intentionally answer it wrong.
You can watch the video again.
I watched the video five times in a row. The thing that they trained us on with that was the number one thing was do not apologize. Do not go over to the customer and say, I'm sorry. The second you say, I'm sorry, then you set yourself up for a lawsuit.
They want something for free or...
Yeah. And I don't think... I'd have to go back and look at it again, but I don't think I say, I'm sorry. Whenever the guys are like, I got hurt, this shouldn't be here. I think it's a lot of just tell me what happened, who's a witness, but I never...
I think this applies to car accidents too. Don't apologize. And also my life. Right.
Yeah.
I try not to apologize for things.
And I'm the opposite. I love to apologize. I love to be like, I messed up. I'm wrong.
Day to day, I apologize too much. Yeah.
No, too much is no such thing.
No. Oh, okay.
I think everyone should apologize more.
Well, it's just an easy cop out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
You don't have to ever have to defend yourself.
I'm sorry. I was drafting a fantasy football player.
All right, segue.
So don't the other thing.
You didn't, by the way, you didn't apologize for that.
I'm sorry, Dean. Sorry, I just wasn't paying attention. I'm also sorry that there was a giant blur in this episode.
Have you noticed?
So we talked ad nauseum about what should the display be, and somehow we settled on boxes of mostly Captain Crunch and Cheerios.
Yes,
and we put a small piece of tape on the middle of every box, thinking that
really?
That would get around the legal. Implications.
There's tape necessary. On all those boxes?
There's a little bit of, wow. Yeah, I think. And anyway, we thought that would be enough to get rid of the blur, and it's not. Like, you see the guys, they fall down into a sea of blur, basically. And as they move, Joe falls, and he's just in a blur pit.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but Captain Crunch is kind of trying to peek out the whole time.
Yeah. You can clearly make it out, actually, because the blur moves.
But did you guys reach Captain Crunch? Not the captain himself, but a representative?
Oh, we don't talk to any higher ups.
First
at all.
Mate?
I know somebody who works at Captain Crunch. If
that doesn't, Danny.
Immortal.
Pretty
immortal
sure it's Danny like Kellogg's. How do you? Who? How high up?
Captain Crunch. Brand marketing manager. Of course. Captain Crunch.
The Rear Admiral. Frankenberry.
I always talk to her about Crunchberries and an important part of my childhood.
Yeah, I mean, the best part was then after the bit, we had all these boxes of slightly dented boxes of Captain Crunch.
Right here,
we're still eating Captain Crunch.
We're working our way through.
What's Captain Crunch's slogan?
Matey.
Is it?
There. That's Tony.
I mean, Tony the Tigers, they're great.
On the box, it says "Crunchitize me, Captain."
That's gotta be a rebranding.
But is it just Captain Crunch? What isn't something like that?
I don't know. I think he was his own slogan.
Captain Crunch Berries.
Look at that. Look at that one. You see it's three different flavors on the side. One of them's called Oops All Berries.
Oops All Berries. Oops All Berries. Oops All Berries. Do you know the idea behind this?
What's that?
Okay. Oops All Berries was a cereal that came out where their branding was that something went wrong at the factory.
I remember this.
And the kids took over it and they made a cereal with all berries.
Because no one wanted the nutritional part of it.
Which is not nutritional at all.
It's made of the same stuff.
But I was a kid at the time and I was like, whoa, kids took over the factory. Irresponsible. This is what I want. And then I bought the cereal and it was all the berries. And I was like, this is perfect. This is delicious.
So they still haven't corrected that mistake after all these years?
All this year, the kid's still there. They're still old now. They're like my age.
Wow.
And they're still cartoons.
Was there anything else from that bit?
I think that there's a peanut butter crunch. And then a few others.
I mean, the other part of that bit was they ended up calling it Can I Get a Witness?
Oh, yeah.
Which we were really disappointed about because we named things here in the comedy producer's room, and it was one of our all-time favorite names. It was Supermarket.
Yes.
Oh, wait, hyphens.
What's the Ed part?
It just, we had to finish it. So it was like sue, like you would sue someone in a court of law, and then per mark.
For every mark.
Pretty good, right?
And we, you know, we loved it and it never made it out there. So it only lives on this podcast.
Yep.
So that was the original name of this bit.
And I guess the only other thing from that for me was the guys rented, or the show rented from a different equipment company that day, and I had my earpiece was on a different frequency from the guys, so I wouldn't hear them like laughing and stuff, but they could talk to me when they needed to, just to tell me stuff. Mm-hmm. And the earpieces were malfunctioning like crazy, so the worst one was on Murr's turn. My earpiece completely cut out, it just went dead. So if you watch the episode, the mark, everything happens and the mark leaves. He like goes to the register. That's because I didn't run out. The manager never came out at that point.
Right.
I came out and this is cut out. There was another woman who immediately calls me over and goes, he was faking it. He's a liar. And I thought she was the mark and she wasn't. She was just like somebody else in the store.
She like wasted all your time with her?
Murray had to grab me and be like, there's a guy who went, and he must have looked crazy because there's a woman saying she witnessed it. And he's saying like, there's a better witness. Right. Like, go get that guy. I had to go to the register. That guy did not want to come back. He's just like, no, the guy, he's like, the guy's full of crap. He's like, I'm paying for my groceries and I'm leaving. Why would I go back? And I had to just say like, sir, like he's swearing up and down that you're going to have his back on this. And like, just, you'll make my life a lot easier if you just come over there and he hears you say that he's a liar. I had to like kind of talk the guy into coming back. We come back and the moment we're back, my earpiece kicks in, but just high-pitched screeching that was so loud. I was really worried that Mark and Murr were going to like hear this thing ringing in my ears. And it was almost like impossible to go through that.
Right.
You can't tell on there. And thankfully nobody could hear it, but I thought I was going to ruin the whole thing.
You're suffering the whole time.
This thing was as soon as it was over, I like tore it out.
Yeah. I ruined a bunch of audio once when we were filming Insider. You know, we have the headphones that like play like that, what the guys are like saying. Mm-hmm. So we have headphones to listen to that. And my headphone was around my neck as I was like doing something, like either at the end where I'm like, yeah, Joe just got
tackled
in this punishment. And no, the headphone went into like was playing right into my microphone.
Oh no.
So you couldn't, like, luckily we had like, I think we had a boom mic or something,
right,
picking it up.
Use something
but
else.
It ruined all like the lavalier microphone, the hit, you know, the one that's on your shirt.
Yeah, those
ear things are crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts.
I think about this a lot. This is weird. This is a weird thought. This is my hypochondriac coming out, but I'm like, those, they have these microphone packs and these ears things in their ears every day. Mm-hmm. Like we film all the time, maybe 3 to 4 times a week. That's a lot of radiation.
Do they switch ears? Do you know?
I think it depends.
Cause like one ear might be getting a little more with the brunt of the damage. Right?
I don't know. Yeah.
The guys? Yeah. I don't know. I'm just concerned for them.
Right. I mean, either way though, you're just, you know what I mean? Like these like, you know, the radio waves and batteries and stuff are so close to your brain.
They're suffering for comedy.
I know. People don't realize the consequences.
You
know that.
Yeah. But you're like, but you go around and you've got like a wirelessly controlled like skateboard and like an Apple Watch and like you're like,
not on my head.
You're like radioactive, man.
Yeah, no, near your testicles.
Yeah. You got to think though, that my job is not to like be on a skate on a, you know, like a battery operated skateboard. Like if your job, your 9 to 5 was to have an earpiece,
to have that in there
and like a mic pack on your back, okay, or in your pocket. And on top of all the other stuff, like your phones and Apple Watches and stuff. I just think that those frequencies.
Yeah, the guys are like modern day coal workers.
You have consumer grade radiation.
Yeah, they're going to get the radiation lung.
Well, why don't we drive on
radiate
over,
to this punishment?
Let's hear them both. What'd you get?
Why don't we drive on over to the next bit?
Okay.
Radiate over to the punishment.
The same bad pun.
Coal? Let's go get coal.
Coal workers.
Yeah, let's get the coal lung.
Speaking of coal punishment.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, we had a good one.
We did. We blew it.
I guess we blew it.
Speaking of coal.
Coal mines.
Yeah. Okay, we kicked Chase out and we got coal in from one handsome dude to another.
Hello. Best looking crew in television.
You always got to compliment the looks of everybody on the crew. That way they don't know who you have a crush on.
Yeah. Cole, I can't help but notice
this is a podcast about how to get fired.
I harass Chase regularly. I'll be like, hey, Chase, we're gonna.
Excuse me, Your Honor, can you please play that tape back?
Chase, the judge
plays.
How often, Chase, am I like, hey, before we start this meeting, they want everyone to take off their shirts?
Do I need these headphones?
No, they're not plugged in. Just gave them to Chase.
You're holding the other side.
More for the look.
You're holding the plug.
For the look.
Very cool. You look like a rapper about to spit.
I see you're fantasizing about football too.
So James, you brought Cole in here.
I did. I brought Cole in here, mostly to distract him from his fantasy draft because his team was getting too good. But Cole, was this your first time on camera for a punishment?
For a punishment, yeah. In any like in-depth capacity, probably.
And really, like, a starring role, at least support, like, you would be nominated for Best Supporting Actor in a punishment, I think, all time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this James, you said earlier, this is a real crew-heavy episode. So you had, like, I was in it, Chase was in it, Cole was in it. I gotta say, Cole, MVP on this one, man. Like, absolutely. You cracked me up in this one. I think you made the punishment, just a lot better than it was already going to be. Yeah, it was great.
Fun behind the scenes is you weren't mic'd at first, and then people were coming over to you. So we missed a few interactions of like people coming over and complaining to you, which I was like, I think I was, you know, on set and I was like, we got to get a mic on Cole. What's going on here?
Well, yeah. I mean, the funny part about it is we had a real legitimate assembly line, I guess. So kind of what they were there to do is pack these, you know, pre-made bags of food for families that actually need it. So we had another assembly line with about 30 volunteers across the warehouse. And then I was kind of slowly facilitating bringing people over. So when they saw this guy going off the wagon and starting to eat food, they came and found me because
I was
supposed to be a supervisor, I guess. And my favorite line, some lady goes, "We got a loose cannon." This guy's opening food and he's eating it and we've told him to stop. He won't listen. And so, but the real tough part was when they kept coming up and, you know, I'm supposed to stop it.
Yeah.
And suddenly I'm the jerk because I'm just like, don't do that. And then I walk away and then it just keeps happening over and
over. You played it really well. You played it real, which is sometimes hard to do because you're like working and you don't want the guys to get like mad at you. So you played it real where you were like, all right, I got to talk to this guy. But I would believe that they would leave him there because it's a volunteer job.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you fire someone from a volunteer job?
Right. And you can't come off too hard. You know, you don't actually, who is the guy who is kind of starting it? Yes.
Don was like the hero at the end.
Yeah. So he actually came up to me and he's like, here, in my opinion, what you should do is just tell him we're done for the day. Tell him we're done and then we'll send him away.
Wow.
And then we'll finish up.
And he said we'll shank him in the parking lot.
Yeah. You just throw him the wings and
just say we're done for the day. We go to the parking lot and when we stomp him out.
Yeah.
That's what Don said. That's
how Dan does it. He kind of gave me an out and I just had to ignore it. So that was the tough part.
So that one lady kept coming off. She kept leaving, going off camera to talk to you. She was the one that said, we got a loose cannon.
Yeah. And that's when I think Chase texted me. He was like, come back to the BTS space that we had, and Danny Hollis mic'd me up, and it was kind of off the cuff. I wasn't expecting it.
There's a moment in every punishment where you're like, this might not work. You know, like we might not have, like people might not react.
It's intense. Yeah,
you
it's
know?
Intense.
Even though afterward you're like, of course they're going to react. That's exactly what we had thought and exactly what happened. But sometimes a punishment starts and then he's eating and people aren't really noticing, or like, you know, they don't care, or it seems like maybe they won't. In which case we sometimes have like more people to bring in. So we had like two people at a time. There might've been like one or two people that just seemed like they didn't care. And I think we like brought them out of the playing field and kept all the people in that like were reacting or seeing things or making faces, facial expressions. But it's crazy how often that happens with a punishment where you're like, what if this doesn't work? What if no, like, what if Sal tries to get a business card back and everyone's fine with
it? Has it ever not worked?
I don't know. No, I mean, from what you've seen, I think we've always showed episodes. Like, I think we've always showed punishments. So if there's any punishment that you think falls flat.
Yeah. What happens is sometimes the guys will do something, and this happened yesterday, so I can't really talk to you specific, but the guys will do something and the marks will laugh and they'll think it's funny. And so now the guy's funny and we're like, that's really good, but it's a punishment. So we need to make it more tense. And then the BTS will have the guy kind of not necessarily be a jerk, but do something off-putting. Yeah. In the room, so that now people dislike him.
Yeah,
like maybe he'll call somebody by like a name that's not their name in like a disrespectful way.
Yeah.
Or like if somebody was like acting as like their boss, he'd be like, hey, Skip, like, and they're like, don't call me that. He's like, oh, sorry, Skip. And so now people just turned against him as a person.
Right. Yeah.
And that'll help us kind of get to the point where it tilts back in our favor.
Yeah, it's not just that it like didn't work, it's that it didn't go as planned, but then the guys adjust on the fly.
Right.
And we definitely had punishments where like, this is not how we thought it was going to go.
Yeah, because the thing is, they're so likable, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. Joe, Sal, and Q, they're so likable. And so, it's hard for them.
Burr's the best.
I say it just because he's the only one that probably listens to this podcast. That's why it's easier to throw shade at the person who listens. No, but really, like they are, all four of them are so likable, so that when people, they have to sometimes do things that undercuts them, because that's the idea of the show, is that the other guys will undercut them and make them. But I don't think the show would work if they weren't so likable too. We get away with a lot more and doing a lot of things because they just come off, you know, this is like, you know, hometown Staten Island kind of like everyman.
Another thing that, about this delicate ballet that is the punishment, is trying not to laugh. And you broke for a moment there and like heroically saved it. You went with it. It was great.
It was Q's fault. I'm trying to scold him. And again, this is new to me. This is weird because he's my boss, and they're like telling me to yell at him, and you have to make it believable to the other people there. But I said the line that I've never heard the end of since, but I, something about two canned hams. Yeah. And then,
you hit two. That's your second canned ham, sir. That's two canned ham, sir.
Your break was so funny.
It's great.
Laughing is such a fun moment.
Well, you could tell Q is ready to rebuttal. He's going to fight me on it. You know, he's justifying why he's doing. And he was getting ready. And then I just saw him stop because, you know, he was about to break. And when I saw that, I couldn't hold it either. And I just hoped that no one was around to see me cry.
It was, I mean, no, none of the marks did, which was makes it better. It's just that the cameras caught you, which is the best part. The other thing I want to say, that you were very good at not breaking or laughing or anything like that.
Thanks, man. It's hard. And it's funny. In that supermarket one, when Q was on the floor and I came in and made eye contact with him, he smirked. And he started to lose it a little bit then. And it's that same thing where it's like, don't do this, man. Like, yeah.
But I think that Chase is the MVP in terms of that, because there was really crazy stuff happening in that room.
Yeah.
And he doesn't break at all, because I think he's just empty on the inside.
No, he doesn't. I've never seen him laugh.
No soul.
I think Chase's part was really hard. Just like, Cole, just like you were saying, like people were coming to you saying, why don't you stop this? Chase is sitting in a room full of people looking at these notes. And they're looking at Chase like, why are you allowing this to continue? Right. And he had to just kind of keep saying, you know, moving on, moving forward, going to the next question and stuff. He looked like a crazy person.
Yeah, he's just dead behind the eyes at that point. He had to book the marks. He wanted to be a TV producer, and he is. But on these days, he runs a focus group.
Yeah.
And it's not a job that he ever wanted to do. And
one day you'll get your own focus group call.
I don't want that day to come.
Do you have any younger siblings or anything?
Yes, I have... I have two younger sisters.
I feel like that comes across like you were almost like Q's big brother that was disappointed in him. You know what I mean?
Trying to make a wrong a right.
Yeah.
But, well, Cole, it's time to wrap up this episode. So I would like, you know, since you were the MVP of the crew.
Don't put me on.
So
yes. Speech. Speech.
Here you go. Do your best. What you think the outro of the official Impractical Jokers podcast should be?
It's also your pick right now. You just took Des Bryant, so do both.
Don't steal from the needy.
Wow, that's exactly how we end the podcast. That's amazing. No, really, on behalf of myself, James McCarthy, Danny Green, Joe Ambrosio, John Zaluga, Chase Dominic, and Cole Von Cole Weber. Thank you so much for listening to the official Impractical Jokers podcast. Please tune in every time there's a new episode. Subscribe, tell your mom, and have fun.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.